Let us pray. Spirit of God, we know from the letters of Paul that your breath, our breath, is always as close to us as the air in our lungs, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of where we've been that led to us experiencing consequences, all of the ways that your Spirit never ceases to be with us, we are so grateful for. So may we move through this space with an awareness of your Spirit, so you can guide us to be your love and inspire joy. Amen. So yes, I was gone for 1 week, and somehow Paul is back in prison again, right? The reality is Paul was so good at ending up in prison that we don't know which time he was in prison that he wrote this letter. It was either like a year after founding the church in Philippi, or like 5 or 6 years, or maybe all the way up to 10 years. It could have been the last time he was in prison, because he was executed by the state one of the last times he was in prison, so this could have been a farewell letter. The reality is we don't know, but we do know that there's this depth of relationship. And also, since he was constantly preaching the gospel in ways that the empire had huge problems with, the only thing we do know is that he's writing it from prison. And it's interesting because we already talked about how feeling that joy for others was helpful for him, but the reality is, in order for him to stay alive in prison, other people from outside of it had to come and take care of him, provide meals. And so he's in this constant connection with his community still as they take care of him. We know that he was with Timothy because Timothy gets to be included in the letter. And so he still has all of these communal connections despite the intentional limitation on his ability to move throughout the Roman Empire. People have been trying to limit what he can say and do, and ironically, it seems to have given him just enough time to sit down with his thoughts and say what needed to be said to the church he had founded. And since the church in Philippi was one of his first church plants, we also notice that this is not like most of the other ones that he's written. There's plenty of memes going around right now saying if Paul was writing letters today, he would have some really strongly worded letters to write for the church. And the reality is usually he's writing letters to these churches because he sees a problem that needs to be corrected, but this time he is incredibly pleased with this community as he reaches out to them. Now, Paul wasn't the only person to have written letters from prisons, specifically from a faith tradition or even within the Christian tradition. Some might think of the letter from a Birmingham jail written by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he was imprisoned. He was speaking the truth to the Christian situation when it came to segregation and racism in the United States. And similarly, we have beautiful letters from prison that were written by Kim Dae-jung, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2000 because of his work in South Korea to strengthen democracy. He spent a good chunk of a decade imprisoned for pushing for democracy against the military dictatorship of South Korea, and then eventually became the president of South Korea. And so all of his letters have been like published in a single book, which is kind of cool. So all of his work in South Korea led to his imprisonment, and while in prison, he wrote theological letters that try to understand his situation and also talk to his family about really simple things in life, such as the weather, people's illnesses, urging them to still go on vacation and find joy even though he's in prison, what schools they should go to, what professions they should go into, the normal things that we talk to our families about. He also used this time to encourage his children, hoping that they would grow in their faith as humans, embodying alternative ways of being in the world. There's at least one time when it's like, oh, you want to go into that profession? Well, make sure that, like, as you do that, we're doing good things for people. Kim's letters helped him remain visible to his family and the larger community, showing that even when the government had put him in prison, he could still bear witness to a new way of being. When he wrote and encouraged visibility, he also spoke about people who are typically less valuable in society, urging his family to pray for those that they encounter as they're walking on the street, noticing people when they're waiting at intersections to cross the road, paying attention to people in restaurants, at school, whenever they're on dates, to notice the neighbors around them. He noted that often we are surrounded by people that we know nothing about. And so he goes on to encourage his readers to notice their neighbors as the beginning of Christian hospitality. He writes in one letter, "It would be false to say one can love an invisible God when one cannot even love one's neighbors, God's children, who are, after all, quite visible." Kim Dae-jung's imprisonment leads him to focus on the things that matter most, paying attention to how we love our neighbors. And in the same sense, Paul's letters from prison aim to speak to particular Christian communities about what matters most when he can't be there with them. Paul's letter to the Philippians is grounded in his relationship with them. He knows them. He knows the fruit of their ministry and remembers what they were like the last time he was with them, celebrating many aspects of their character. In particular, he notes that these people that he writes to are holy simply because they are in Christ Jesus. Their ability to stay connected with the divine and embody the way of Jesus convinced Paul without a doubt that they were holy people. Because of his experiences with them, every time he thinks of them, he prays for them, giving thanks for all that God has done through them, for their faithfulness to the gospel, and for their love toward Paul. And so all of this is rooted in Paul's understanding of what it means to abide in Christ. Much like in the Gospel of John, where Jesus invites his disciples to remain in him, even though he would no longer be physically present, he urges them to stay prayerfully connected to the divine, to understand how the Holy Spirit works within individuals and the community, and to pay attention to the way the Spirit calls them to be God's love in the world. We might be noticing some similarities between Paul's letters and Kim Dae-jung's letters, that when you don't have anywhere you can go, your heart and mind fixates on the things that matter most, which is how do we love the people we can encounter. So later, when Paul encourages the Philippians to continue to pray for one another, the goal is that God's agape love, unbounded, unconditional love, abounds more and more. Every time that we think that there is a limit to God's love, that boundary continues to be pushed. He notes that love increases the knowledge and depth of understanding of the divine because knowledge about God is not useful without a relational, loving connection to the divine within each other, ourselves, and all that surrounds us. And then, towards the end of our text today, we find that there are some preachers of the gospel who have a problem with Paul, which we know enough of Paul's story that we shouldn't be surprised by that. He made quite a few enemies and was not necessarily the first person that the church would choose to be a major apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul describes two kinds of preachers. First, those who preach the gospel with good motives, out of goodwill, love, and truth, knowing that Paul defends the gospel too. And those who preach the gospel with false motives, out of envy, rivalry, or selfish ambition, not sincerely. They try to stir up trouble for Paul while he's in chains, treating it as a competition. Which, in a way, also sounds familiar. We know modern churches sometimes feel very competitive about what they're doing in the community. And, like, yes, they might be preaching the gospel, which is great, and there's criticism to be made about how they're doing it. They're doing it out of envy, trying to be the best and shiniest church around kind of thing, and instead of just doing it because of the gospel. And so it makes sense that the Philippians would probably be upset. There are people that are going after the founder of their church and trying to make him sound bad compared to them. And Paul just says, don't worry about it. Even with this conflict, Paul doesn't care. Their actions have no impact on his misery or his chains. Instead, he finds joy in the goodness and truth of the gospel being proclaimed. Even when people have bad motivations or are trying to get rich off of it. Because for Paul, the true gospel speaks for itself. It doesn't matter why a person preaches it. Now, we know that later, Paul calls out a false gospel in plenty of other letters in a similar manner to last summer we looked at the letter of 1 John. And 1 John has a very big, like, how do we know when they're false preachers? He doesn't have a problem with people preaching the true gospel for different reasons. He has a problem when there's a false gospel that brings death instead of life. So Paul has no problem confronting false proclamations in the name of Christ. However, for the sake of unity, if people are proclaiming the same gospel, he doesn't mind their motives. So Paul's letter to the Philippians is inviting us, along with other letters from prisons, to keep in mind the suffering of those who are imprisoned or detained. Even today, like the letters of young children trying to reach their loved ones, or other political prisoners across the globe. Because what matters most, Paul tells us, is that we need to focus on our work to be done out of God's unbounded love, God's agape love for all of God's people, to notice the neighbors as we move through the streets, as we stand at intersections, as we wait for the red light to change, to find all of the ways that we can notice the conditions of others, so that we can learn how to be God's love for them in the best way possible. As followers of Christ, we are called to preach the good gospel, specifically the one where Jesus, even in the Gospels, says that he came to set the captives free and notice the plight of those who have been enchained, so that we can remain connected to the deep divine love of God and then embody God's love for all people, wherever we go. So let us pray. God, we are so grateful for the encouraging words we've received from Paul today. In holding his entire transformative story, knowing the ways that he has challenged systems that just gets him imprisoned again and again. And even in that, he still gravitates to the work of your Spirit and the movement of your love in the world. So may that same Spirit who comforted and guided Paul in prison cell after prison cell be with us as we do our best to be empowered by your grace and love to go forth and love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. Amen.